It's about that time for us to get ready and worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The Bible says that no one can worship Him unless you worship Him in spirit and truth. But today, Brother Frank's fixing to bring us the announcements, but today we're going to be in the book of Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. But I want to challenge you right now, in and of your person, to make these next few minutes all about Jesus. Whatever's going on in your life, whatever situation you're facing, whoever you might be mad with right now, whatever's going on in some unforeseen part of your life, why not right now just say, Lord, I give it to You. And over the next hour, hour and a half, I want You to be number one in my life, okay? And I want to worship You in a way I've never worshiped You before. Will you do that? Not for me, but for Him. Because He's worthy of it no matter where we're at. Brother Frank.
Good morning. Good morning. And welcome everyone here and outside in the vehicles and also on Facebook. I get situated. The older I get, the more things I got to tote around. I don't know. It's starting to be a little wisdom coming my way. I got too many pairs of glasses to carry around. Just a few prayer requests before we go into announcements. Let's just remember the school systems. They're getting overwhelmed is what they're reporting on the news and teachers, that type of thing. So let's remember them and all those are caregivers as well. And pray for our hospital systems as well and emergency services providers. And then also, too, let's be in prayer for our country. And then also, too, I was talking to Wayne a little earlier. One of the prayer requests, too, is First Baptist Gate City had to cancel their forward basketball program that they usually do. So let's remember those as well. And then tonight, for those involved, they're going to have the Awana drive-through. Happy Birthday Jesus party is going to begin at 3 p.m. this evening, so before it gets too dark outside. And then also, too, immediately following at 4 p.m., those that are going to be involved with the church nativity scene, live church nativity, that practice will be here at 4 p.m. this evening as well. And then just a reminder as well that Sunday night prayer service will be at 6 p.m. On Facebook, broadcasting there. And then one that I forgot last week because I got in a truck to come over here at 7 for Wednesday night and realized that by the time I got off the mountain that service was already started. So 6 p.m. on Wednesday night. So 6 p.m. for Wednesday night service as well. And then also, too, let's remember that we're still taking donations on the Lottie Moon as well ministry. And then I want to thank the Lord that He's brought us here this morning and welcome everyone here and just happy that we can still be in church and be in this building. So we're just thankful for that. So with that, let's bow our head and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll continue on in our service this morning. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank You that we can be here this morning, Lord. I know a lot of churches are struggling and don't have the means to broadcast on Facebook, and we're just thankful, Lord, that You give us the ability to do that. And we ask, Lord, and pray for those churches and just ask You to continue to help them to be pillars in their community, Lord. We pray for all the pastors that are having to deal with these things and visiting and being able to preach and teach, Lord. There's just so many challenges, but, Lord, we're just thankful that You provide, Lord, and that You're still in control, and we just want to give You praise for that this morning. Again, we have many prayer requests, Lord, also that we just ask You to be with each and every one in an individual situation. And again, we just ask You to be with the school systems, Lord, and our state government. We just ask You to give those that are in leadership roles, just give them wisdom, Lord, and how to deal with these things. And we ask, Lord, as we go towards celebrating the most wonderful time of the year, Christmas, the birth of Jesus Christ, Lord, that You would just help us to focus. And as Brian said, You would put that song back in our heart, Lord. Help us to just focus upon the goodness and the joy that You provide us, Lord, still, no matter in what situation we might find ourselves in. And again, we ask You to bless the service this morning. And we ask, Lord, that You just lead, guide, direct us throughout this week and give us opportunities that we might witness in Your name. In Jesus' name and for His sake we do pray. Amen.
Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
So it's December. Can you believe it?
Wow.
And with that means we get to dive into this small little section in our hymnal that we lovingly and tenderly call our Christmas and sing a couple songs from that. So if you will want to grab a hymnal and turn to page 88, and then keep your finger there, and we're going to also go straight into page 95. So 88 and 95 will be the two songs that we're going to sing. And as you stand, keep in mind that at the last verse in the book of Psalms says, "Let everything that have breath praise the Lord." Amen. So sitting out or listening, you've got breath, you can praise the Lord. So let's start singing.
Thank you. It's been a long while since we've sung this song, but it's one of my favorites, and we just ask that the Holy Spirit would just take the words and just comfort and guide, and Lord, He'd just till our hearts to be ready to receive the word that He has given Brian to speak to us this morning. So just praise Him as we attempt to sing this song, El Shaddai.
El Shaddai, Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Kamkon Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham, and by the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees, and by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkon Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near, though the people failed to see what Messiah ought to be. Though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand that your most awesome work was done. Through the frailty of your son, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elyon Adonai, age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkon Adonai, we will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 15. Thank you, ladies. That's one of my mother's favorite songs, too. So it's been a long time since I've heard that, but it's good to hear it this morning. And again, we're so thankful to be in the house of the Lord today. Those of you that are watching us by Facebook this morning, we want to say thank you for allowing us to be a part of your worship time this first Sunday of December. As you're turning to the book of Luke, chapter 15, also those of you that's out there in the parking lot, it's good to have you out there this morning. I know we've got some that's been quarantined and out of the house, but thank God for that, that they're getting out and about a little bit. And all of you that's joined with us, I pray today that your heart's desire today is just to honor and uplift His name at least over the next few minutes. As you're turning to Luke chapter 15, I do want to remind you of these three things in case you don't remember anything about today's message. And that is that no one loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let Him today, He'll do even greater things than you could ever imagine. And do them in ways that you couldn't even imagine. I do want to say thank you to the deacons and to Thomas Village Baptist Church for allowing me to go down to Georgia to be with some friends and family at the sudden loss of a daughter, a mother, a sister. Also, I want to thank everybody for loving on Miss Wilma Bishop's family this week and as they've went through it and still going through it in some different ways. But thank God this is the day that the Lord has made. And really and truly, all we can really worry about is who we are in the circumstances. You know, that it's very difficult to change circumstances. It's sometimes impossible to change circumstances. But we can always focus on who we are in the midst of those circumstances and be able to give the Lord glory for that. All right, if you would, I'm going to ask you to stand with me in the honor of God's Word today. We're going to be looking at a parable. You know I like parables, and I think God gave me an excuse by wiping out all the sermons that I had concerning parables, telling me that I could do it again. And, well, He reminded me one I missed. You know, we went through some of these parables, I guess, about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. But this morning we're going to look at the parable of the lost sheep. And if I had a title for this morning's message, it would simply be The Value of One Soul. The Value of One Soul. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Then drew near unto Him all the publicans and sinners for to hear Him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And He spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the precious and wonderful name of Jesus, I come to You today. And God, I'm thankful for this day. I'm thankful for just the time You've already given me in Your presence this morning through the worship and through the praise, not only in here, but in my office this morning. I'm thankful that You said that You would come and You would be with us. And God, I ask You to forgive me of my sins today where I fail You, knowing that I'm a sinner, and there is nothing worthy or just about me except for the blood of Jesus. Holy Spirit, I need You today. I need You to strengthen within me and to take these words and to touch them with Your power and Your wisdom. So as a dying man to dying people, I may say where I found the source of life. God, Father God, we want Your name to be lifted up by lifting up Your Son, Jesus. And so, God, we ask You today to meet with us, please. Please. And let us leave here. Lord, please meet with us and change us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, again this morning, this parable is one that you've probably heard. You have probably had it, if you've been in church very long, you've probably heard it preached. You've probably taught it in a Sunday school class. You heard it in a Sunday school class. You might have seen it played out with puppets. You might have seen it on felt boards. My mind can go all the way to felt boards. Praise God, I still love felt boards. Amen, Brother Otis. There will always be a place for felt boards in the Baptist church. Amen. It's the one where it talks about that Jesus, he just basically tells the parable of a shepherd who had 99 sheep and or 100 sheep, and he lost the one. And in that, he was willing to leave the 99 and go find that one. It's not, this parable is not only found here in the book of Luke, chapter 15, but it's also found briefly over in the book of Matthew, chapter 18, beginning in verse 12. It says this: what do you think? If someone has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, won't he leave the 99 on the hillside to go and search for the stray? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he rejoices over the sheep more than over 99 that did not go astray. In the same way, it is not the will of your Father in heaven that that any of these little ones should perish. December the 6th, 2020. The last month of a year that on the friendly side, we could say it at least hadn't been the best of our lifetime. Amen? And to a lot of others, it's been a very difficult year. I'll be honest with you, since March, from March about 7 months on there, God blessed us. We didn't have very, very much sickness in the church or in the family. But man, it seems like these past 2 months, it's kind of just been heaped on us. And I'm going to be honest with you, even though this is the official month, we only have 19 days until the official day that we're going to celebrate the Messiah's arrival. I just got to tell you, I don't feel in the Christmas spirit at all. I asked somebody today, I said, do you feel like, does it feel like Christmas to you? They looked at me and said, shoot, it don't even feel like it's been Thanksgiving yet. You see, I'm excited about what we've got coming up tonight with our Celebrate Jesus, Happy Birthday Jesus tonight. And I'm excited about next week with the nativity, the drive-through nativity. And then we've got some things coming up in these, what's that first month of the year? January. That one, yeah, that one. They moved it on me. January, got some neat things coming up there. But again, this week has just been one of those weeks that's in two different instances with Sister Wilma Bishop and then with Sister Lindsay, Braddy in Georgia. You're reminded of the briefness of life, the shortness of life. Then I heard that freezers are having to be brought into our area. You know what else I'm finding in my life? It's just day runs into day, runs into day, runs into day, and then it's just a fuzz. Does that make sense to y'all? Those markers in our life, those road signs that would basically say, okay, the work week's over, the school week's begun, and all those, you know, and it's just all those normalities, all those markers have been blurred, if not just totally cut away out of our lives. And you know, like this week, I'll be honest with you, and I ask you to pray for me today because I really feel weak this morning, feel very weak and unprepared. And so as I was traveling back and on Friday, I was praying, Lord, what would you have me to preach? What would you have me to preach? I know it's Christmas season. I got to get Christmas on my mind. And then and I was getting nothing. And then I just finally said, Lord, what do I need? What do I need? And this is where he's brought me to. And I think that it will help us have a better Christmas if we recognize and understand the value that Jesus has for one soul. Look right here. It says in Luke verses 1 and 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Notice the makeup of the group of people that are going to be hearing this parable. The first thing that we see there, we see that there are publicans and sinners. Really, most of you know that a publican, another name for publican, is the tax collectors. See, what would happen was the tax collectors in Israel at this time, even though they were governed by Rome, even though the parent state, you might call, was Rome, they still had Jewish tax collectors. If you look over in the book of Luke chapter 19, verse 7, you'll see Zacchaeus, the wee little man, and the wee little man was he, who climbed up. He was a tax collector. They said they hated him so bad they'd get on the other side of the road, basically, to stay away from him. But also, sometimes we forget, if you look over in Luke chapter 5, verse 27, about a man named Levi. And Levi is Matthew, the one who wrote the gospel that we know. But listen, this is how you became a Jewish tax collector. What you would do is you would know a Roman official, or go to a Roman official, and you would tell them something like, I can get you 6%. I can get you 6%. And then if they said that's good, then what you'd do is you go out there and you would charge 8%, taking 2%, sticking it in your pocket, and then giving the 6% to the Roman government. But guess what? You had the authority of Rome behind you when you went to collect those taxes. They didn't care if you were charging 8 and giving it. You just made sure. And so you know what the Jews did? They looked at them as sellouts. They saw them as traitors. And not just traitors against the nation of Israel, but they saw them as traitors against God. Now, how do you look at some of those ones that we see as traitors today, selling secrets on the internet and doing all this stuff with China and making money? How do we feel about that? These men, these tax collectors, they knew the reputation they had. They knew how people looked at them. Like I said, it's been said that they were so hated that people would cross the street and walk on the other side so they wouldn't have to pass by them with their dust or their shadow falling on them. And then the next one, look here, it says, publicans are tax collectors, and then the other ones are sinners. Now, if we straight biblically define what sinners means here, it means those that have broken the law of God. But you see, this other group, the religious crowd, they saw them as sinners according to how they define the law. And so what we have here is we have the prostitutes, the thieves, the liars, the murderers, the rebellers, the all those. That's the ones that when it says, and these sinners, the Pharisees. What we have is we have a group here that knows that they have issues in their life. They know that they got problems in their life. It's like those that would be addicted to drugs or alcohol or addicted to pornography or anything like that. That's the ones that you can look at and say, you need help. They understand, it's clearly seen that they need help. But notice, that's not the only ones that's in the crowd that day. It goes on to say that there were Pharisees. And the Pharisees, you remember, are the Jewish religious group. They make up basically half of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin is the law of the Israelites. And so when you're in the Sanhedrin, you have political pull, you have religious pull, you have all type of pull that's there. And then notice it goes on to say that there were scribes there, or experts in the law, experts writers and expert teachers in the law. So we have one group that instead of looking at themselves and wondering what it means for them to be righteous, they're too caught up looking at, they think they're good enough. They think they've got it right. They think that they're doing it enough. So you've got those that know they have a problem and those that don't realize that they have a problem. But I want you to look what it says here. What did both of them do? Look there in verse 1. It says, to hear him. And notice the Pharisees and the scribes were there as well. Praise God, I want to tell you this. We're living in a world where there's just a bunch of confusion. I texted that to somebody today. But notice where both of these groups went to find the truth or find what they wanted to hear. They may not like it when it comes out, but it is the Word of Christ Jesus. That's what they gave to Him. You can almost see the picture that you've got these Pharisees and these scribes on one side, and you've got these publicans and these sinners on the other. And while these are murmuring and complaining, Jesus begins to teach, and they lean in. And then almost after a little bit, then those that are murmuring and complaining, they lean in there. And it's in the midst of this that Jesus, they ask Him, they say, how is it that you can eat with these scribes and sinners? How is it that you could be with them? And this builds up what we see here is that this question that they basically present to Jesus, He's going to give them three parables in response. The first one is the one we just read, the 90 and 9 and the 1, the lost sheep. The next one is the lost silver or the lost coin, 1 of 10 that the woman goes to find. And then the last one is the parable of the prodigal son. But praise God, whether they be sinners trapped in their sins, whether they be religious people that are just posing, or whether they be true, born again, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, the way to salvation has not changed. Romans chapter 10 verse 17 says, so then by faith comes by what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message or through the word of Christ. We must get the gospel outside the four walls of this church. And you want me to tell you something else I'm realizing? What group was murmuring? The religious crowd. You know, brother, I think in what you taught Wednesday night, when it was Moses and Aaron, was it not the religious crowd that was complaining then as well, brother? See, this is the norm. Religious people's always complaining. They are. Religious people's always complaining. But praise God, at least they were in a place where they could hear the word of Jesus. And so then Jesus comes to this point, and it says there in verses 3 through 4, and it says, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that one until he's found it? Again, this is a parable. Remember, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, or it is a spiritual truth illustrated in earthly situations or earthly relationships. And so what Jesus is fishing to do is he's going to use the illustration of the sheep and the shepherd. Now, this illustration is seen all through Scripture. Jesus uses a lot sends out the disciples to go and spread the gospel in Matthew 15, verse 24. He replied, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel. Over in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 16, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired man, since he is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches up and scatters the sheep. This happens because he is a hired man and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. But I have other sheep that are not of this fold, that I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there shall be of one flock. Now again, we've got to be reminded, he's saying, I'm the shepherd, you're the sheep. He is the authority, we are the lowly ones. This is a picture of every man, past, present, future, whatever. The sheep are the lost ones of humanity. That's out there. But listen, not only is the idea of the shepherd, because we got to remember now, a lot of people say, as we think about Christmas and trying to get into the spirit of Christmas, a lot of people say that Jesus never declared himself to be Messiah. That's a load of bunk right there. He clearly reveals himself as the Messiah. And we've got to remember that when he's talking about these sheep, this isn't new to those Pharisees and those scribes' ear. Listen to what it says over in the book of Ezekiel, beginning in chapter 34. This is beautiful as we think about the love that the shepherd has for one soul or one sheep. In Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11, it says this, for this is what the Lord God says, see, I myself will search for my flock and look for them. As a shepherd looks for his sheep on the day he is among his scattered flock, so will I look for my flock. I will rescue them from the places where they have been scattered on a cloudy and dark day. I will bring them out from the peoples, gathered them from countries, and bring them into their own land. I will shepherd them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the habited places of the land. I will tend to them with a good pasture, and their grazing place will be on Israel's lofty mount. They will lie down in good grazing place. They will feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will tend my flock and let them lie down. This is the declaration of the Lord. I will seek the lost, bring back the strays, bandage the injured, strengthen the weak, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will shepherd them with justice. Amen. That's our shepherd. Now think about this. They've asked him, said, how in the world can you let these old dirty, no good sinners come up to you? And what does he do? That's what the religious crowd thinks. And what does he do? He begins to talk about a shepherd that's been sent to gather his sheep. And don't you think their minds went back to Ezekiel? Remember, they were prophets and they were perfect in the law, knowing the law. Don't you think their mind went back to Ezekiel where it says, hey, we heard that the coming Messiah is going to be a shepherd, and he's coming looking for lost sheep, and he's going to bind up the wounded, and he's going to strengthen those that are weak, praise God. Don't you know that was just ringing in their ears? You see, the sheep, the shepherd is Jesus Christ. And the sheep is whosoever. The sheep is whosoever. But as we want to understand and have a better Christmas this year, if we're going to understand it, then we've got to understand the sheep situation. Notice what he says. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? Matthew's account makes the situation a little clearer. Matthew chapter 18, verse 12, he says this, what do you think? If someone had 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, won't he leave the 99 on the hillside and go and search for the stray? You see, the first thing we need to recognize about the sheep situation is that they are lost. They're not just confused. We're not just misplaced. We're not just puzzled or befounded for a minute. We are lost. And I'm learning this. I'm learning this. And I believe this as we see the ages roll on, especially me beginning to get up into my middle years now, I'm believing more and more that there is biblical illiteracy eating up America. That people do not know the Word of God. And you know, sometimes we who have been brought up in the church, and some of us that have been in the church, you know what? We start talking our own language. And the lost, the world out there does not understand it. We talk about justification, sanctification, theology, different things like that. But I just want to talk about two words. What about the words saved and lost? Does the world know what we mean when we say that someone is lost? Some people think it means I got to get religion. Some people think it means if I get baptized, I've been saved. Some people think it's when you join the church. I tell you, I could almost get a different answer for every different person that I ask, have you ever been saved? They'll say, I go to this church, or my family helped build this church. But you know what it means when someone is lost? Listen, it means that, yes, they are unaware of their location. That is the literal definition of it, okay? The word lost means unaware of your location. But it goes on. It's deeper than that. Listen, the word lost means to be destroyed, to be ruined, to cease to exist because of a violent act. It means to come to nothing. To be no more. And notice, it's likening every human being to a lost sheep. That we've been placed out there. That we're in a place where we're going to dwindle down to nothing. Saved means to be redeemed from your sins. Forgiven from your sins. To have your blood of Jesus applied to your life. But notice this, not only are the sheep lost, the sheep are lost because of what they did. What do you think? Remember, it says that they went astray. It used the term over in Matthew chapter 18, verse 12. It says that they go astray. That means to wander off or to go in a different direction. We're also told by James chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. No one undergoing a trial should say, I am being tempted by God, for God is not tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, it gives birth to death. We are sheep. We are ignorant people, and praise God, it doesn't take much for us to wander off. It doesn't take much for us to get out of the way. Psalms 119, verse 176, say, I have gone astray like a sheep. Seek thy servant. Hear what David's here, what he's saying. He's not saying, let me seek after you. He's saying, you seek after me. You come get me. For I do not forget thy commandments. There's many reasons why a sheep can get lost. Many things, many reasons why we as believers can drift away. You know what? A sheep can get lost due to the distractions that's going on around it. You know that? It could see a butterfly on a branch, and that butterfly fly, and then it's going to follow that butterfly and be focused on that butterfly, and next thing you know, it's going to be deeper in the wilderness. You know what? If we're not focusing on the right things, if our mind and our heart isn't upon Jesus Christ, then guess what? It's very easy to focus and let other things draw us away. As right now, when I sit here and I talk about, I don't feel much like Christmas, I don't feel much like the Christmas spirit, you know what's happened? Why? Because those markers, those things that help pull me to that Christmas spirit, those things that help move me to Him, I've let them be distracted. They're not as prominent as they were, and other things are more prominent, and I just don't feel that close place that I used to feel. Can I get amen? You know, there's something else. A sheep, me, can get lost because it's not staying close to the shepherd. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of a pick and save or like at a JCPenney's, but those are the two places I ever got lost in my life when my mama was there. At Penny's, they used to have this big old ice machine that went at the back of the store, and I would lay my hand on it, and I'd run it all the way down, and I'd run it all the way back, and then I'd show Mama the ice that was on my hands and all that. And guess what? One day I put my hand on it, I ran all the way down, and I came all the way back to show Mama, and guess what? Mama was not there. What happened? I didn't stick close to her, and she moved on. Same thing happened in JCPenney's one time. You remember them big old round things they had? How many ever crawled up in the middle of one? Okay. You be so pious. I climbed in them, okay? And I came out one day and Mama was gone. Was it Mama's fault for losing me? No, it was me. She had told me to stay on her heels. But I climbed into it. How many of us today, or how many of you on Facebook today, have wandered away? We've just not been staying close to Him like we should. Amen, brother. But you know what else? Some sheep drift away because they don't trust the shepherd. You know, I don't know how it is, but you know, they can talk to those dogs and they can talk to them sheep. Jesus even said, my sheep hear my voice and they respond to my voice. But a stubborn one, when you try to lead it into the safe, oh, what's it going to do? It's going to go the way it wants to go. But you know, humans not trusting our Creator has been Satan's tool since the garden. Did he really say? And see, that's what the world is trying to get us to do right now. It's trying to get us to question what God is telling us. It's trying to rob us of His truth in our life. We have to trust the shepherd. Remember, joy, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You've got to trust. You've got to stay focused on the shepherd. You've got to stay beside the shepherd. You've got to trust the shepherd. But also this. When a sheep is not focused, it can drift away. You know that? A lot of people right now are drifting away from the Lord. Why? Because some of them, you used to be Sunday school teachers. You used to teach Awana. You used to sing in a choir. You used to do all this. And I know some of those places aren't open for you to worship in and to function in, but are you as close today as you was then? You see, our gifts help keep us close to our shepherd. When we're serving Him, I promise you, I wouldn't study as hard if I didn't have to preach three sermons a week. Does that make me less of a pastor? No. How many of you are doing three sermons a week just cause? All right, but it helps us, amen? It helps us stay close. Notice the parable. How can you eat with these publicans and sinners? Jesus is answering that question. He says, I realize, number one, that sheep's lost, and the sheep are lost because of their own doings. But I want you to look where the sheep is lost at. It says that he's going to leave, there in verse 4, it says he's going to leave the 99 in the wilderness. If that's the wilderness, where is the lost sheep going? It's going deeper into the wilderness. It's going deeper into the darkness. It's going deeper out there. Really, this just caught my attention this morning. But think about this. We're living at a time where wilderness sports is a growing thing. Have you ever thought about that? Think about this. Think about all the monies that's spent on equipment. Kayaks, hiking boots, backpacks, those thingies you stick in the ground to help you keep your balance. I don't know what they're called. They look like skis. Campers. All this. Why? Because people wants to get closer to the wilderness. They want to climb the mountains. We want to raft the rafties or whatever they are, the Rockies or whatever they are. We want to zip line over the highest valley. You know what happens? You see what the wilderness can do? The wilderness can excite you. The wilderness can stir you up on the inside. It can get your adrenaline pumping. But you know what? The wilderness eats us up and spit us out anytime it really wants to. It will. You see, the wilderness is a dangerous place. You see, the wilderness is a picture of the world. You know, this world is not our home. Praise God. Every day I'm getting more and more where I love to say that. Don't you? This world is not my home. But think about it. Out there in the wilderness, remember, it might provide you with adrenaline, and it might sharp focus and all that stuff. But remember what's in the wilderness. There's wild animals. There's sharp rocks. There's steep ledges. There's loose soil. There's a lack of shelter, and there's no first aid. What's going to happen when the wilderness says, I'm going to be boss now. I'm going to be in control. You see, that's what happens. The wilderness kills the lost sheep. The sheep's unaware of its location, and the wilderness is going to destroy it. Our human life will kill us eternally unless we know the shepherd. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 24, 25, it says, by faith Moses, when he grew up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose to suffer with the people of God rather to enjoy the short-lived pleasure of sin. Sin is fun for a season. This world, it can appease you. It can provide for you a position. It can provide for you acceptance. It can provide for you power and wealth and all that other stuff, but it also comes with a price, and that price is your soul. And it will come cleaning one day. The wilderness can be fun, but it will require a payment. So we see that the sheep is lost. It's doomed to a violent end. It's lost because of its own choosing. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And we realize that the sheep is in the wilderness, and the wilderness is not going to take it easy on the sheep. But you know what about this parable? The sheep is not the main character. Amen. And I pray today that you're not the main character in your story either. The main character in this story is the shepherd. And now we get to see the shepherd's mission. Remember, he's been asked, they're murmuring, how in the world can he let these people, these publicans and these sinners and all them eat around him? And he said, okay, I recognize it. Yes, they're sheep. They're an ignorant animal that as humans you've wandered out there on your own and you're in the lost world and it's going to devour you. What man among you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he found it? Remember that passage from Ezekiel chapter 34. Remember he said this, I will seek the lost, bring back the strays, bandage the injured, and strengthen the weak, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will shepherd them with justice. The Old Testament declared that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. It prophesied the coming of the Messiah. And right here, when Jesus begins to talk about the high being the shepherd and seeking the priest, you know what he's doing when he's seeking the sheep? He's saying, I'm that promised one. You know that passage over in Ezekiel? It was about me. I'm that one. That's why I go after the lost. That's why I go to those that's on the outskirts. That's why I go to those that may not be normal to the rest of society. Why? Because I've come to save sheep. Right here when they ask him, he says, it is my purpose and my duty to find a sheep. Over in Luke chapter 15 verse 4, it says, what man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after until he finds it? Listen how he puts it. He says, what one of you, if you had 100, would lose one, wouldn't leave the 99? He's saying it's not even a question whether I'm supposed to go and to save the sheep. It's not even anything. That was my duty. That's what the shepherd does. He goes and he takes care of the sheep, and he's saying, that's who I am. That's what I do. I go and I find the sheep. I'm just blown away when people say that he never claimed to be the Messiah. Mark chapter 2, verse 17, when Jesus heard this, he told them, those who are well don't need a doctor, but the sick do need one. I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners. Oh, you see, the shepherd's mission is simply to save the sheep, to care for and to find, take care of the lost sheep. But I want you to notice that the shepherd's mission is urgent. The 99 were already in the fold. They were bundled up. The shepherd's time and energy and concern was totally focused and put on that one little lost lamb. How many of you have ever heard some evangelists say this? If it would have just been you, Jesus would have still died on the cross. How many of you have heard that? I've heard it all my life. Here's the scripture that goes with it. You got to have scripture to stand. What's he saying? He would give up the 99 just to save the one. He left his throne in heaven. Why? To save the one. Praise God today. If we can grab a hold of that and recognize that he came for me, period. I know he came for y'all, and I know he came for y'all, and I know he died for all of those that are listening, but praise God, the King of Kings came for me. He saw it urgent. He would not let me die and go to hell if it was up to him. Isn't that awesome? And if you die and go to hell, it'll be over his grave. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, for he says, I heard you in an acceptable time. I helped you in the day of salvation. Look, now is the acceptable time, and now is the day of salvation. The children of mine, along with Amy, we've got into that Netflix show with Leah Remini in it, that Scientology. It's crazy. Why they got a cross in it, I don't know. But I was listening to them, and they would talk about how there's people being brainwashed, and there's people being held captive, and they're separating families, and they're doing all that. And then they'll talk to all different ones, and that actress, she'll say, I just couldn't do nothing. I just couldn't do nothing. I looked at youngins, I said, that's the way we ought to be. We ought to recognize that there is a shepherd seeking lost sheep, and we have the message, and we need to live with the urgency of the shepherd getting the message out there. Now, is it our duty to make some come in? No, because what did he say? My sheep hear my voice. It's just for us to make sure that his voice is going out. But then look at the shepherd's results. And when he had found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he come home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Just in case you're wondering, this is a picture of true blood-bought, born-again salvation. It is the picture of the Savior Jesus Christ coming into a relationship with a poor, lost human being. Man, woman, boy, or girl, whosoever. That's what is happening in this picture. You look. The shepherd embraces the sheep. Notice this, it says, and when he had found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders and rejoiced. I couldn't help but think of the second coming parable, the prodigal son. And it says that I think about the father standing there as the son was coming home with his arms wide open, his heart filled with joy. uplifting and latching his arms around his son and embracing him and lifting him up. Can't you see the picture there too? As he picks up the lost lamb and he picks that lamb up and he may stroke its head a little bit and then he'll take and he'll set it up on his shoulders. I tell you, this time I went, when I went down to Georgia, I wore my mask all the time. But there's one special lady down there, and that was Sister Linda Bennett. And I hadn't seen her in a while, and I had to give her a hug. And when I grabbed a hold of her, I mean, I put one of them tight hugs on her. And she come in for one of them tight hugs. And I gave her a hug. And then later on, when we got to leave, she come in for another hug, but she didn't come in as quick. I thought, oh, I hurt her. I squeezed her too hard. But you know what? The more and more I'm in this thing, the more and more I believe that many times, it is because of Jesus and His Spirit rising up within me and His power upholding me that we can even stand through some of the situations that we've gone through. I think about Sister Vanessa. I think about some others. The shepherd embraces the sheep. Notice this. Hey, the shepherd brings the sheep home with him. And you know what? Here's the good thing. He don't just set him over old cardboard box over in the corner and place him over there in the cardboard box, Sister Fleeta. No, the Bible says that He is going to prepare a place for me in His Father's mansion. And praise God, it is my place. It is nobody else's place. Just like He's my Savior, He's made me a place. It's pretty good for a little lost lamb, ain't it? But it's all because of the shepherd. It's all because of the shepherd. And then notice this. The shepherd identifies himself with the sheep. What did he say? He says, I have found my lost sheep. You're mine. You're mine. Oh, the greatest thing that I can ever stand and tell anyone is this. Not by anything that I've done, but because of all that He's done, am I right with Him. And nobody will ever get into heaven because of what they've done. We'll only get in there because of the shepherd and what the shepherd's done and the love that the shepherd has for his sheep. Glory, hallelujah. I'm feeling the Christmas spirit. Amen. The shepherd wants to welcome you into his family if you're not in his family. He wants to bring you into His home. He wants to surround you with His strength, not only through His hand and through His Spirit, but also with His people. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, Jesus said this, I say unto you, anyone who acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge them before the angels of God. But whoever denies me before the others, he will deny before the angels of God. And then, when it wraps up here, we see the point of the whole parable. He says, I say unto you, verse 7, I say unto you, likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons that need no repentance. I tell you in the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need repentance. So basically what he's saying there is who think they don't need repentance. Because, see, those Pharisees thought that they were right with the Lord. They really wasn't hearing much that was coming out of Jesus' mouth except for trying to find something to make Him stumble. I know today hasn't really been a... If our song piano player would come this morning, we'd just have a little bit of music. Will you help her, Brother John? I know that this has not been a real Christmassy-focused type sermon, but I want you to stop and I want you to think for me just a second. As we enter into a Christmas, into a season, into a year that hasn't been good for us, we can't say it's been fun. Matter of fact, it's been kind of difficult for most. You've got to purpose in your heart to make this Christmas a personal Christmas. I'm not talking about gathering with your family. I'm not talking about having gift swaps. I'm not talking about coming and being in church. If you can, be, but if not, make it personal between you and Jesus. Listen. The price of one soul. This same Jesus that came, born of a virgin, left His throne, was laid in a manger, taught law experts at 12, at the age of 30, turned water into wine. Healed the lame, gave sight to the blind, brought back the dead. That same Jesus, you want to make Christmas special, was born for your salvation. That little baby that's going to go through all that we know about him, he came. Why? Because he loved me and he wanted to save me. Will you just right now say, Jesus, let my Christmas be about you and only you. Maybe today you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I would love to be able to show you what the Bible says about being saved. You know, that, and even me going through it, that doesn't mean you have to get saved. I just want to know that you, I want you to hear that voice one time. See if you can hear. Maybe today that it's time for you to become a member here at Thomas Village, or maybe you want to rededicate your life, or be baptized. I don't know how the Spirit's dealing with you, but on this first day of December, will you just simply say, Jesus, I want you to be number one in my life. The value of a soul to Jesus was his very own life. The value of your soul to Jesus was his very own life. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, let us be obedient to the Spirit now as we consider how much you love us. Thank you, thank you, thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's stand. We'll do one verse if no one else comes. But the altar's open. You come today. Make Christ the center of your Christmas. Thank you, Sister Nancy. Thank you for your attentiveness today. Thank you for bearing with me as well. Anybody got anything on your heart before we close out today? Don't forget, tonight at 3 with Awana, and then dry run at 4 for next week's nativity. Anything else? Good to be with you this morning. Share this sermon if God's touched you with it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Thank you for all the love that you've given. And as we do get prepared for the season of Christ, not only just the season of Christ, but the season of worshiping Christ, God, that we will make much of Jesus. Thank you for loving me. Be with those that have burdens. And Jesus, let your name be glorified. Amen and amen. God bless you. Love y'all.